ಶ್ರೀಮರಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್
ಓಂ ಗಣಾಶ್ ಚಿಮಿರಂದ ಶಾ ಗಣಂಜನ ಶ್ಲಾಕೆಯ
ಚಕ್ಷುನಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಸೊ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಅ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಬಿಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಇನ್ಫಾರ್ಮೇಷನ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹೂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಇಸ್. ಆಫ್ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ವಿ ನೋ ಹೀಸ್ ಎ ಮೆಂಬರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಪಂಚತತ್ವ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶಿರ್ವೈತ ಕಲಾಧಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಸತಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ, ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ, ಅದ್ವೈತಾಚಾರ್ಯ, ಗದಾಧಾರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಶಿವಾಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ three of the members of the Panchatattva are Vishnu Tattva, and one is Shakti Tattva, that's Gadadhar, and then you have Jiva Tattva, who is Narada Muni Srivas Thakur. So anyway, so these are the Panchatattva, the five truths, you know, Jiva Tattva, Shakti Tattva, and Vishnu Tattva. Three different categories, but five truths. So Advaitacharya is also considered to be an incarnation or appearance of Sada Shiva. And that's interesting, too, because generally we're taught that the Lord Shiva is not Vishnu Tattva. He's in a special category of his own, sometimes called Shiva Tattva. The description in the Brahma Samhita is that Lord Shiva is like the yogurt that is made from milk. It cannot replace milk, it's not the same as milk, and you can't take milk out of yogurt. You can take yogurt out of milk, but you can't take milk out of yogurt. You understand? You can't go in the other direction. So, let me just make sure I can see this. So, how is it that we say that the dilemma, or the controversy, how can we say that Lord Shiva, Sada Shiva, who is Advaitacharya, is Vishnu Tattva, when we know Lord Shiva is not Vishnu Tattva? And the answer to that is that there is a Vishnu Tattva expansion of the Lord in the spiritual world known as Sada Shiva. And from that Sada Shiva in this material world, the Shiva expands. In other words, there's a Sada Shiva Vishnu Tattva in the spiritual world. So, therefore, we say Advaitacharya is an appearance of Sada Shiva. Also, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that he is the appearance of the, what's described as the material cause of the universe. So, that doesn't mean he's material, because within the creation, there's a material cause and then the spiritual cause. The spiritual cause is the living entities who are placed within the creation. And the material cause, and also the super soul who enters into the creation. And the material cause is the ingredients. Sometimes the ingredients in their unmanifest state are referred to as the pradhan. Pradhan means the unmanifest, that is, it's not yet taken shape in the material world. For example, the example I commonly use in that regard is a clay. And when the children are young, they play with this type of clay called Play-Doh. Or when I was young, I played with this type of clay called Silly Putty. I don't know if any of you played with that when you were young. So this Silly Putty, it comes sort of like an egg-shaped container. Anyone's ever played with it? No. It comes in an egg-shaped container. And it does all sorts of amazing things, like you can pull pictures off of comic books and things like that. But in any case, when you take it out, it's just like, you know, a ball. And then you shape it into whatever you're going to shape it into, or clay, you shape it into whatever you're going to shape it into. And when you're finished, you put it away. And it again resumes its original shape. In the same way, the material ingredients are something like that. They're unmanifest. There's no form that's manifested in the material ingredients. They're not manifest into the earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. They're just like in the pradhan. And so Advaitacharya is the source of those ingredients. So he's considered to be the material cause in that way. He's the source of those ingredients. You got that? So he's Vishnu Tattva. And actually, Krishna is the source of everything. Maham Savarasya Prabhu Mataksarvam Pravartite, as Krishna says in the Gita, I'm the source of all the material and spiritual worlds. But that doesn't mean because he's the source of the material worlds, he's material. It just means he's the source of the material worlds. Got it? So Dvaitacharya is not material. He's Vishnu Tattva. It's a very, very important point to understand. So, also, before we talk specifically about Dvaitacharya's life, we understand that Dvaitacharya was his prayers were the exoteric cause of the Lord's advent. Now, there's two causes of the Lord's advent, we understand, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The esoteric and the exoteric. They're two different words, if you don't hear my pronunciation. Esoteric, E-S. Those Yiddies are speaking. And then the exoteric, E-X, E-S or E-X, you understand, exoteric. Exoteric means the external cause of the Lord's advent. Esoteric means his own internal reasons for adventing. And sometimes they're called the primary and secondary causes. The primary cause is the esoteric. The secondary cause is the exoteric. So in the esoteric, the primary cause, which is the Lord's own purpose, which are the Lord's own purposes for adventing, that's the Lord wanted to understand that Radharani had his love for him. He wanted to taste that love, and he wanted to see himself from his beloved's perspective. And just like sometimes we want to see ourselves in our mirror, where there's a perverted reflection of that, or we want to hear about how much our beloved loves us, isn't it? I mean, this perverted reflection of Krishna's desire that impelled him to appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had these esoteric reasons for coming, which are his own reasons, internal reasons, or primary reasons. And then as far as the exoteric reason, is to save all of us. And that exoteric reason was impelled or stimulated in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by Dvaitacharya's prayers. And we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Dvaitacharya is described as worshipping the Ganges with Tulsi leaves and also praying to the Shalagram Shila for the Lord's advent. And even he's saying if the Lord doesn't advent himself in this world, you know, then there's no hope for the conditioned souls, and I should not be known as a Dvaitacharya, and I'm ready to leave this world, and I will force the Lord. In other words, he kept making these statements, and that's there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, I'll force the Lord to appear by his devotion. And we know, of course, that a devotee is capable of forcing Krishna to appear or forcing Krishna to do something because a devotee controls Krishna by his devotion. So even Krishna's expansions, Vishnu Tattva expansions, are devotees of Krishna. Also in the Chaitanya Bhagavata, it's described about Nityananda, Lord Nityananda, that Lord Nityananda is a servant of Krishna and he serves Krishna in various ways by becoming Chaitanya Charitamrita also describes this, that he becomes the bedstead of Lord Krishna, the singhasana, the altar. He becomes the umbrella. He becomes even the Brahman thread. And what to speak of the temple. The temple is actually considered to be an expansion of Seshanag. Because Seshanag generally is depicted as holding up all the universe and also forming himself as the bed for Lord Vishnu and for Krishna. So we find that Nityananda, Balaram, is a servant of Krishna. So all Krishna's expansions are actually Krishna's servants. And Dvaitacharya certainly considers himself a subservient to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now in the pastimes, now we'll get on to the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Generally, Lord Chaitanya offered obeisances to Dvaitacharya. Considering him, because that's the etiquette. I mean, we're in America, so the word etiquette is a foreign word. I have to translate that. Etiquette means like manners, you know, the rules and regulations for, let's say, interactions between people. That's how you define it. I don't know what the dictionary definition, but that's pretty much what it is. The rules and regulations in society as far as how people interact with each other or behave in their own personal lives. I mean, we have items of personal etiquette, Vaishnav etiquette. You know, personal etiquette means like cleaning our hands and our mouth before we eat and then after we eat, etc. like that. That's personal etiquette, wearing clean clothes. Then there's social interaction etiquette, which is what I'm describing here, where the example is that an elderly person would be considered worshipable. In fact, in the Vedic culture, you have the children bow down and touch the parents' feet. You know, just like this. Nowadays, you don't do that. Nowadays, the children say, you know, just, hey, Dad, if you're lucky. And if you're not lucky, they just call you by your first name and ask you for money, right? So, anyway, so the etiquette, that's etiquette between people and in the social culture. And then, of course, there's Vaishnav etiquette. Vaishnav etiquette means how do we relate to different Vaishnavas, you know, how do we dress, how do we take care of the deities, what time in the morning we wake up. That's etiquette. Etiquette is basically behavior. So sometimes it's generally understood as interactions, but it's also in general it is behavior. So let's get back to the story of Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya was much older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, basically, he was old enough to be his grandfather. And Advaita Acharya stayed on this planet for quite a long period of time. He lived I don't want to use the word live. He manifested his pastimes for 125 years. That's a long period of time, much longer than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does anyone know how long Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested? What? 48 years. And 24 years were his initial pastimes and 24 of the Maja and the Ancha pastimes. So, I mean, only 48, and Advaita Acharya was there for 125. So Advaita Acharya and his wife, Sachi, were there at the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It described, in fact, that Advaita Acharya, he worshipped Sachi Mata, and he smeared, like, sandalwood on her womb. I mean, I'm sure she was quite embarrassed with that. And then circumambulated Sachi Mata before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And Sachi Mata was more or less one of the ladies. She had the parental relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She's one of the ladies who cared for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, getting back to the point of etiquette, Advaita Acharya was generally treated like Lord Chaitanya's guru. I mean, Lord Chaitanya would offer obeisances to him, prayers to him, and great respect. But Advaita Acharya, understanding that ontologically, and there's another big word, that means according to his position, that is, who he is, he was subservient to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you have the ontological position diametrically opposed to the etiquette position. Do you follow what I'm saying? Everyone, you understand? It's like who he is by nature is, and how he should act by nature is opposed to, in terms of, you know, the etiquette or the pecking order, is opposed to who or the age that he manifested himself in relationship to Lord Chaitanya's age. So Lord Chaitanya was generally worshipping him, and Advaita Acharya didn't like this very much. He was thinking, you know, I am the worshipper of Lord Chaitanya, and I want Lord Chaitanya to chastise me, because in this way, because that's generally the relationship, the elders will chastise the youngers. Nowadays, of course, you can't chastise anybody. They accuse you of being insensitive, you know, not in tune with the times, you know, hey, Daddy, get with it, you know, or something like that. So, but in those days, and actually, we're not talking about, like, beating someone up. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it, but we're talking about generally, like, chastisement, which is a sign of love. Like, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised the Jagadananda Pandit for giving advice to Sanatan Goswami, then Sanatan Goswami got upset and he said, look, I understand you have a very intimate relationship with Jagadananda Pandit because you're chastising him, but me, you're praising. So generally, when you praise someone, not all the time, but generally when you praise someone, it's just you're afraid of telling the truth. You know, you did a good job. You did a very good job. You're a very nice devotee. He said, you know, if I told them the truth, they'll just become discouraged in Krishna consciousness. So anyway, chastising is a sign of an intimate relationship. And Dvaitacharya wanted to get chastised. So what happened is that Dvaitacharya started teaching this bogus philosophy called the Yoga Vashishta. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became so disturbed with Dvaitacharya for doing this that he decided to go to Dvaitacharya's house and basically beat him up. So there's many stories told in the Chaitanya Bhagavat about his journey to Dvaitacharya's house, you know, how they ran into a Shakta, you know, a so-called Shakta sannyasi, you know. And he was offered liquor by this person, and Lord Nityananda told him it was liquor. Lord Chaitanya was so innocent, he didn't understand what liquor was, basically. And so they basically jumped in the Ganges and swam upstream all the way to Shantipur, where Dvaitacharya was. Dvaitacharya also had a house in Navadvipa, in addition to his house in Shantipur. There's this place called the Dvaita Bhavan, which is right next to Shiva's Angan. Anyone who's been there has seen a Dvaita Bhavan. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his way to Dvaitacharya's house, and he basically beat up Dvaitacharya. He started punching him. And Dvaitacharya, remember, was old enough to be Lord Chaitanya's grandfather. That means, you know, let's say if Lord Chaitanya at that time was about 20 years old, let's just estimate that, because it was definitely before Lord Chaitanya left Navadvipa when he was 24. So he was about 20, 21, something like that. So he got a 20-year-old boy beating up someone who's old enough to be his grandfather. So he got at least 65, 70. You can imagine this scenario. 65 or 70, you know, can you imagine? I say, who's 20 here? Mahabharata, you know, beating me up. I'm not 65, 62. But anyway, so imagine him just coming in. Of course, we wouldn't want that to happen. But, and so he was really heavily beating Dvaitacharya. And Dvaitacharya's wife, Sita Devi, came out and said, you're going to kill the old man. And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't care, you know, he's been teaching this bogus philosophy. Of course, that doesn't mean we should beat up people who teach bogus philosophy. But this is a pastime between two appearances of the Lord Chaitanya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was beating him up, and Dvaitacharya started dancing in ecstasy. Finally, I've achieved what I wanted. That Lord Chaitanya is no longer showing me respect, but actually having the right relationship with me as subservient to him. And then Lord Chaitanya became embarrassed because he understood it was a trick by Dvaitacharya. So in this way, Dvaitacharya got what he wanted from Lord Chaitanya. Okay, now we'll talk a little bit about... Oh, yeah, this, just some more interesting details that I have here is that Dvaitacharya was a coward boy in Krishna's pastimes. Because one time, Sadashiva, he saw Krishna dancing with Balaram and the coward boys, and he thought, I should dance too with Krishna and the coward boys. So he became a coward boy and was able to dance with Krishna. Interesting story. So, all right, we talked about Advaita Tattva already. And just want some quotes here from Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur that are interesting. Maya has two functions, and Mahavishnu appears in two ways according to these functions. When he manifests within the material world as the creator, he is the universe's effective cause. That's called Nimitta Karana, and in his form of Vishnu. In this unmanifest material energy, Pradhan, appearing in the form of Rudra, he has a second identity as Advaita. And another reason Advaitacharya is called Advaitacharya means he's non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like we have this verse in the Brahma Sangita, Advaita Chuta Nadi Ananta Rupa, that the Lord has multifarious forms, but all those are non-different from him. They're the same person manifesting or exhibiting himself in different ways. So Acharya, of course, means one who teaches by example. Here's a commentary by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Anubhasha, that means commentary to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Lord Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu. So it's interesting. He's Mahavishnu Sadashiva. He is the supreme preceptor. Vishnu's activities are auspicious because of his existence as the owner or master of the universe. He is the root cause of all auspiciousness. Anyone who cannot understand that the complications which are ever present in the material universe are beneficial in a way that is pure, eternal, and complete and free is deprived of his true spiritual activity, devotion to Krishna. This is an interesting statement. I want to read that again. Anyone who cannot understand that the complications, that means the problems we got, which are ever present in the material universe, I mean, really, this sentence really needs to be unpacked. Ever present in the material universe, complications, that means they're always there, don't expect any different, are beneficial. Wow. In a way which is pure, eternal, complete, and free. So anyone who doesn't understand that is deprived of his true spiritual identity. Pretty interesting, isn't it? If you don't understand that all the problems that you're encountering in this world are beneficial, pure, eternal, and help us come to the pure, eternal, complete realization, then basically you're in Maya. And you're devoid of devotion to Krishna, deprived of your devotion to Krishna. Wow, that's a heavy statement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is known for his heavy statements. And so Advaitacharya is also known as Kamalaksha, which means lotus-eyed one. Here's another quote, which is very nice. The well-being of the universe is in Advaita. He is the abode of all auspicious qualities. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. His activities are the eternal source of welfare for the world. So he was given the name Mangala. That's another name of Advaita. The abode of virtue. He is a portion of Mahavishnu, and his full name is thus Advaita because he is non-different from him. He is the most noble personality in the universe. The spiritual master of the Vaishnavas, he thus has two names which come together as Advaitacharya because in appearance he has eyes like lotus flowers. He also has the name Kamalaksha. Okay, so now we'll talk about Advaita's appearance. Advaitacharya appeared on the seventh day of the waxing moon in the month of Magh, which is today. And some people questioned the calendar. Here, this is the right day for Advaitacharya's appearance. There, unfortunately, there was a bogus link on our Nugaloka website that gave a link to another calendar site, which doesn't have accurate calculations. The accurate calculations that were done by the GBC calendar program give today as Advaitacharya's appearance. Anyway, that's a little note because some people wrote letters to me about it. So he appeared in the village of Navagram. Nava means nine villages. Near the city of Sailat is the son of Varendra Brahman Kubera Pandit and his wife Nabi Devi. And also, his father is identified sometime as the personality Kubera. Kubera, of course, is the treasurer of the demigods, and he's a great friend of Lord Shiva and is the leader of the Yakshas. Not the Rakshasas, the Yakshas. It's interesting, there was a Yaksha, I was just listening to this yesterday, there was a Yaksha who became known as Shankachuda, who stole one of Kuvera's gems. And that gem later on became the Shamantaka jewel. You understand me? So So Shankarachuda was actually a yaksha. Everybody understands the story? Shankarachuda was the one who so-called kidnapped Radharani, and Krishna killed him, and Krishna took the jewel from his forehead, which is in the shape of a conch shell, and he gave that to Balaram, and that jewel was later on given to Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani, when she left this world, she gave the jewel to the sun god. And that sun god later on gave the jewel to who? Does anyone know? Satyajit. And he also gave something else to Satyajit. What? Satyabhama, who the sun god considered to be his daughter, at least adopted daughter. And then he gave the Satyabhama, who is Srimati Radharani, to Satyajit to be his adopted daughter. And later on, she was given to who? Krishna, right. And she became Krishna's wife after Rukmini agreed to the whole thing. Because Krishna married Rukmini, Bhishmaka, who is Rukmini's father, he made Krishna promise not to marry anyone else unless Rukmini agreed to it. So in the beginning, Krishna had to sneak around with Satyajit's daughter, Satyabhama, who is Radharani, until he got Rukmini's permission. And anyway, there's a whole story about that in the Lalita Madhava. So anyway, so that's Advaitacharya's appearance, and his father was Kuvera, incarnation of Kuvera. It's described that when he was born, Advaitacharya was born, the demigods rained down flowers without being seen. They just saw flowers from the sky. I remember we used to do that when Prabhupada came to a place. Of course, not the demigods. But we used to get up in the second or third or fourth story of a building and throw down flowers. It was quite a wonderful experience. You just get down on the roof and just throw flowers, and Prabhupada would come in, and flowers would be coming down from the heavenly planets. So, when his father and mother disappeared, actually his mother's known as a great personality too. Let's see, what's the description about his mother? I can't find that right now. But his mother was obviously an appearance of a great personality. So when his father and mother disappeared, he went to Gaya, giving the excuse that he was performing the rituals for mourning for his parents' disappearance. But then he took advantage and he went to Vrindavan, where he became absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And he was actually the first person to discover the Madan Gopal deity, which later on became Madan Mohan. And that Madan Mohan deity was later on given by him to this family in Mathura, Chobe. You remember everything. You've got such a good mind. The Chobe family in Mathura, and later on that Chobe family gave the deity to Sanatana Goswami because they were playing with Krishna like he was their little boy. In other words, the Chobe's son was playing with the deity of Krishna like he was his buddy. But that's another story. So Advaitacharya was the first one to discover Madan Mohan, who was known as Madan Gopal at that time. So he spent some time in Vrindavan, and he also went to Mathila, where he met the poet Vidyapati. And then he went back to Shantipur. And in Shantipur, he got married, and he had two wives, Sita Devi and Shri, who they were actually sisters. And Sita Devi, of course, is described as Yoga Maya. It's not the same Sita that Lord Ram married, but this is the Sita that's an expansion of Yoga Maya. And Shri is, of course, her expansion, and that's from the Gauranganadesh Dipika. As we mentioned before, he had two residences, one in Navadvip and one in Shantipur. So when Madhavendra Puri was going through Shantipur, Advaitacharya met him, and Advaitacharya took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri is the guru of Advaitacharya. Let's see. We already talked about how Dvaitacharya was the cause of the Lord's advent in this world. It's described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that he constantly served Krishna with great enthusiasm, offering Ganges water and Tulsi Manjaris. Absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he worshipped him by roaring his name, the sound of which filled the entire universe, reaching up to Vaikuntha. The Lord heard the sound of these roars of love and made himself visible to humanity, for he is controlled by his devotee. That's from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Advaitacharya also established a school for teaching Sanskrit in Navadvip and started to engage in a deep study of the Shastras. Every day, Lord Chaitanya's older brother, Vishwarup, used to go to Advaita's house after bathing in the Ganges to listen to him lecture. On certain occasions, when Advaita was engaged in performing his puja, Vishwarup would explain to everyone present there that devotion to Krishna is the ultimate purport of all the scriptures. When Advaitacharya heard him speaking in this way, he got up from worshipping his deity and embraced Vishwarup. Sachi regularly sent little Nimai at lunchtime with something for Vishwarupa to eat. When Advaita Prabhu saw Nimai's beautiful face, he became enchanted, and he was unable to recognize him as his worshipable Lord. The supreme truth. And there's a story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat how Advaita tested Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see if he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as Advaita heard that Lord Chaitanya had publicly revealed his divine identity, he and Sita Devi immediately set off, bringing their son Achyutananda and some other associates. But rather than going directly to Srivasa's house, Advaita decided to test Lord Chaitanya by hiding in Nandanacharya's house. He told Ramai not to tell Mahaprabhu, but Lord Chaitanya, who knows the heart of all, was able to see through Advaita's plan. As Lord Chaitanya sat on the altar and revealed his own deity to everyone, his own form, Nityananda held the royal parasol while Gadadhar and the other devotees engaged in a variety of services. This time, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, he sent Ramai to Nandanacharya's house to fetch Advaitacharya, and in this way Advaitacharya realized that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was omniscient. And he hesitated no longer. In the company of Advaitacharya's wife, Sita Devi, he joyfully prostrated himself before the Lord, speechless before the manifestation of the Lord's divine power. He washed Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and worshipped him with five ingredients. That's called Upachar. It's spelled wrong here. Following the following mantra to do so, reciting the following mantra, Namo Brahmanyadeva Go Brahmanahitaya Cha. I offer my obeisances to Lord Krishna Govinda, the Lord of the Brahminical Society, to him who is the source of the cows and the Brahmin's welfare, and who is the source of the entire universe's well-being. It's a wonderful story. So Advaitacharya actually had six sons, and it's interesting that of those, three were considered sada, which means useful, and three were asada, which means useless, because they didn't accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they also accepted that Advaitacharya, they thought that Advaitacharya was just an ordinary person, their father. So three were actually rejected by Advaitacharya. And the three that were good were Achyutananda, Krishna Mishra, and Gopal Mishra, and the three that were rejected were Balaram, Swarupa, and Jagadish. And they all had spiritual names, of course. The Chaitanya Charitamrita compares the two groups to wheat and chaff. Chaff is like the stuff that you when you actually throw the wheat up in the air or whatever you do that you want to get rid of. You know, like the skin on the wheat, the wheat berries. And so, useless. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that if someone takes a Dvaitacharya to be the best of Vaishnavas, then he can be called a Vaishnavas. On the other hand, if someone considers him to be the object of all religious life, Vishaya Krishna and Sri Krishna Chaitanya to be his devotee or Ashraya, then he will never be able to attain Krishna's lotus feet. In other words, if one takes to the misunderstanding that Lord Chaitanya is subservient to Advaitacharya, then you cannot attain Krishna consciousness. Let's see. Another story, very interesting story, is when Mother Saatchi got very angry at Advaitacharya. She didn't say anything, but in her mind she committed what Lord Chaitanya considered to be an offense, because she blamed Advaitacharya for the sannyas of her two sons. You know, there's Visvarup left and Lord Chaitanya left. And so Lord Chaitanya, when he was asked if Mother Saatchi would attain pure love of God, Krishna Prema, he said no, because she's committed offenses. And everybody was thinking, oh, she's the mother of Lord Chaitanya. How could she not get Krishna Prema? And Lord Chaitanya said, my mother has committed a great offense against Advaitacharya. So I will not show her my Mahaprakash form. This happened in the house of Srivast Thakur. And when the devotees heard this, what had been said, Saatchi Mata rushed immediately to Advaitacharya and begged for forgiveness, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'll give her love of God then. So even if you're the mother of God, if you don't have the right attitude, you're in trouble. It's interesting, because sometimes people want to rest on their laurels, you know, that I was born in the movement, or I'm a sannyasi, or initiated by Prabhupada, or something like that. You know, therefore, I am who I am. But actually, it's a question of attitude and following and consciousness. It's not a question of simply your position. Okay. So every year, Advaitacharya and the other devotees went to Jagannath Puri to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time, while they were cleansing the Gundija temple, Gopal, who was Advaitacharya's son, was dancing and dancing and dancing. His name was Gopal Mishra. And he fell down unconscious. And everyone thought, wow, now he has left his body, of course, in an auspicious place. Advaitacharya became very anxious and took the body of his son on his lap, chanting the Nrisinga mantra. But despite everybody's chanting, Gopal did not return to consciousness. Everyone began to cry. But Lord Chaitanya, who takes away the distress of his devotees, touched Gopal over the heart and said, get up, Gopal, chant Hare Krishna. And Gopal immediately returned to consciousness, stood up and began to dance, and all the devotees became ecstatic. That's a nice story about Advaitacharya's son. And Lord Chaitanya said about Advaitacharya, came here, that is Jagannath Puri, to show his mercy for me. I am bound in debt to his love, and there's no way that I can repay him. He abandoned his wife, children, and home for my sake, traveling a long and difficult way to come here. I am living here in Nilachala, that's Jagannath Puri, without moving. I make no effort on your behalf. I am a monk and have no wealth. What could I give you to make good my debt? My only possession is my body, which I give you. He was giving that to Lord Chaitanya, to Advaitacharya. I will sell it to whomever you wish. And then also Advaitacharya, in one sense, was the stimulation for the Lord's desire to leave this world. Because Lord Chaitanya was sent a message by Advaitacharya, and this message was in the form of a riddle. And the riddle is as follows. Tell the Lord that I pay him 1,000,000 obeisances, and I humbly submit to him the following. Tell the madman that everyone has gone mad. Tell the madman that they are no longer selling rice in the market. Tell the madman that crazies are no longer good for anything. Tell the madman, this is what the madman said. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this riddle, is that tell Mahaprabhu that everyone has become intoxicated with love for Krishna, so in the marketplace of love, no one is buying the rice of Krishna Prema anymore, because everyone already has it. Tell Mahaprabhu that the crazies, that means pure devotees, are so intoxicated with love that they are no longer involved in their material activities. Tell Mahaprabhu that Advaita said this is the state of complete intoxication of prema. In short, the message was that for the purpose for which Mahaprabhu was called to earth by Advaitacharya has been completed, now the Lord may do as he wills. So in other words, now the Lord can leave. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he became very sober. And he said that Advaitacharya calls the deity and then he sends the deity away, referring to himself as the deity. So in one sense, you could say Advaitacharya was the exoteric reason for Lord Chaitanya's disappearance from this world. Lord Chaitanya disappeared by entering into the Tota Gopinath deity. And there's actually a mark on the deity, on the thigh of the deity, where Lord Chaitanya entered. And that mark, it's a golden streak on the mark of that deity. So Dvaitacharya was the cause of the advent and also the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least the exoteric reasons for that. So we have to greet the deities. It's time. 7:16. Okay. You should blow the horn. Ha, 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 ha